And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Let there be light. It was those four words spoken from the mouth of God that created the universe. That sentence right there tells us everything we need to know about the importance of light and its connection to life. Light is essential for life, but light is also a great mystery. Throughout the ages, scientists and philosophers have grappled with the mystery of light and how it works. Even after centuries of studying and great advancements in our understanding of light, there is still a wonder about it and a mystery behind it. Just a few weeks ago, scientists launched the $10 billion James Webb Telescope, the most expensive in NASA's history, all for the purpose of reaching out as far in space as they possibly can, for the purpose of catching up with that let there be light moment in Genesis by studying the first light of our universe as it continues to expand. Epiphany is called the season of light. Epiphany comes from the Greek word phos, meaning light. So looking at light with a theological perspective, let's turn to the gospel of light, to John's gospel, where we read in chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And again in 1 John 1, verse 5, we read, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So here we have two of many instances in God's word where he himself is referred to as light. God is light. So at the beginning of creation, when God said, let there be light, in a sense, he was saying, let there be me. Let my DNA, let my handiwork, let my fingerprints be visible all over this world. And so they were, and they still are. When we look at an artist's work, we contemplate the work, and through looking at the work, we learn about the artist, their mindset, what they care about, what's on their heart. And so it is with this universe. We can see the mind and the glory of God. While some people puffed up with worldly wisdom try hard to wipe those fingerprints away, they cannot nor will they ever be able to. And when we take the time to ponder and to notice just what God has done, when we open our eyes, our light catchers, these are our light catchers, we behold his power, his glory, his wonder. And sometimes it just makes me want to shout. You know, we go through our lives in such a hurry these days. We get into daily patterns so that many times all they become are ruts. And those ruts become so deep that many times they block out the light. We get stuck in these patterns, and in doing so, we no longer stop to smell the roses or see God's glory. But when we stop to admire all that light allows us to see, it's a blessing indeed. Such was the case for me this week as I I studied about light. I contemplated the wonder and the miracle of the eye, which is the receptor of light. Time and time again, I just had to shake my head and say, "My God, how great and wonderful you are indeed." And as I studied what light is, it became easier for me to understand who God is. Not that he can ever be fully understood, but he sure does delight in when we try. One of the characteristics, the first characteristics about light that one learns is the speed of light. There's nothing faster in the universe. Light is the speed limit of the universe. 186,000 miles per second. In 1 second, light can travel around the circumference of the earth 7.5 times. Have you ever heard the saying, "I'll be there in a jiffy"? I'm sure you have. And you know, if someone says, "I'll be there in a jiffy," it means, "I'll be there shortly." But do you know just how fast a jiffy is? A jiffy is actually a scientific term. It's a unit of measurement. I tried to look up on Google Images something about the jiffy, and all I kept getting was this muffin mix. So I'll try to tell you what a jiffy is. A jiffy is the time that it takes light to travel 1 centimeter or 1/3 of an inch. That works out to approximately 33 picoseconds. Just in case you were wondering, a picosecond is 1/1,000,000,000 of a second. And so light travels 33 trillionths of a second. That's what a jiffy is. It goes around the world 7.5 times in a second, and it goes 1/3 of an inch in 33 trillionths of a second. So the point is, next time someone tells you they'll be there in a jiffy, or "I'll be back in a jiffy," you know they're lying. Only God can truly be there in a jiffy. But the speed of light primarily helps us to understand the omnipresence of God. God's never too slow to act. He's never late or too slow to save or to hear and answer our prayers. God is light. He's quick to forgive, quick to show mercy, quick to respond to those who cry to him for help. He's not like an Omicron test line. I received my CDL physical a couple weeks ago, and as I sat in the lobby of the care spot, people were coming in to get their Omicron tests, and they were told it was going to be about a 4-hour wait. I was thinking, man, these people will be over COVID by the time they get to their... But when we call upon God, he'll be there in a jiffy, a true jiffy. Another quality of light that reveals God to us is the color of light. The colors of light are revealed to us. We're getting a little deep here, but I'll go slow. The color of light are revealed to us when photons or particles of light make contact with another object. We, for the most part, don't see light until it hits an object and reflects off of it into our eyes. See, light is the only source of color. You might think you have an inherent color in your clothes. No. Light is the only source of color. The color of an object is seen because the object merely reflects, absorbs, and transmits one or more of the colors that make up light. When a prism is hit with light, it breaks down and reveals the entire spectrum of colors that we can see with the naked eye. There are also many other colors that we cannot see without help. Infrared and ultraviolet colors. God made color when he decided to make a universe full of many different elements, each of which act and react differently when photons of light hit them. For example, when a leaf on a tree in the summer absorbs light, It absorbs everything but the green part of the light spectrum. Thus, it reflects green. When photosynthesis is over for a leaf and it quits absorbing the light in the same way and it changes its chemical makeup, well, the leaf then changes colors depending on what chemicals are in it. It sometimes absorbs all light but red or yellow or brown. The same is true for an apple. The same is true for this red rose on our altar. It's deep. It's deep, I know, and it's fun to contemplate, but God's hand is all over it, and it's amazing. But getting back to Epiphany and the color of light, and light needing to make contact to reveal itself. Well, that's what Jesus, the light of the world, was all about. When Jesus came into the world, he made visible and physical contact with his creation, with you and me. And when he did, the colors of God, his true colors were revealed. What were they? The colors of Jesus were many. Red for love. Green for life. Yellow for joy and happiness. Blue for peace and tranquility. Purple for royalty. White for holiness. You get the picture. The color spectrum of the light of the world, Jesus, is gorgeous, prettier than any rainbow, and carrying the promises of the rainbow and even more promises of eternal life with them. But the overall color that we see from Jesus, when all of his many colors are combined, is grace. You take all the colors of Jesus, put them in a bucket and stir them up, you get the color of grace. Even as the great hymn says, "Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." God's grace is the most precious gift of light and life that we will ever receive. And what we see about grace through the Son of God is that it's not always an easy color to shine with. Yes, grace is free to the receiver, but it's costly to the one extending it. The season of Lent, which follows Epiphany, reveals to us that loud and clear the cost of grace. Grace is not always an easy color for you and me to wear. In fact, it's a sacrificial color. Take, for example, Jimmy Swanson's kindergarten teacher in Fargo, North Dakota. She saw him struggling to put on his little cowboy boots as it was time to leave for home. Jimmy asked for help, and she could see why. Even with her pulling and him pushing, the little boots still didn't want to go on. Finally, when the second boot was on, she had worked up a sweat, and she almost cried when Jimmy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." She looked down, and sure enough, they were. It wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was putting them on, but she managed to keep her cool as together they worked to get the boots back on, this time on the right feet. And it was only then that he announced, "These are not my boots." She bit her tongue rather than scream, "Why didn't you say so?" Like she wanted to, and once again she struggled to help him pull the ill-fitting boots off his little feet. No sooner had they gotten the boots off when he said, "They're my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them today." Stifling a scream, she mustered up the grace and courage she had left to wrestle the ill-fitting boots on his feet again. Helping him into his coat, she asked, "Now where are your mittens?" To which he replied, "I stuffed them in the toe of my boots." That's what it's like for God sometimes. When he extends his grace to us, he just keeps doing it. Grace can be a tough color to wear, but God wears it every day in the life of his Son. It's his favorite color because it involves all the other colors. He tells you and me that we can get away with wearing that color as well, even if the rest of the world says that it isn't in fashion. Put on grace, the very same grace that Jesus, the light of the world, has extended to us in the life, death, and resurrection of His Son. It might be a costly color to put on, but you may find that it suits you well. Finally, I want to leave you with the third property of light. The objects of light do three things when light hits, all to one degree or another, depending upon the object. An object of light reflects, absorbs, and radiates or transmits the light that hits it. All objects react differently to light. For example, a mirror reflects most of the light that hits it. A solar panel is designed to absorb the light and turn it into energy. Our planet Earth as a whole reflects the light as it can be seen from space. It absorbs the light as we see different forms of life using it to grow. And it radiates light, giving off heat, which is in turn trapped in our atmosphere. Just like a stovetop that glows, that's radiating. Well, knowing these three ways that light affects the objects that it hits, let us now ponder what that means for you and me concerning the light of the world, Jesus Christ. When we expose ourselves to Jesus in prayer through His Word, we will no doubt begin to reflect His light to others. However, we will not reflect it if at the same time we do not absorb that light into our life so that it transforms us. Without absorbing it, we merely deflect the light rather than reflect it. When a person wants to work on their suntan, they absorb the light through extended time exposed to the sun. When we absorb the light of the world into our heart, when we absorb the S-O-N into our mind and body and soul through time and prayer, we will not just reflect God's light, but we will then be so warmed by His light and love that we will radiate that light. When we reach the point of radiation, then we're getting somewhere. Do you radiate God's light in your life? Do you feel His warmth? Do people feel His warmth when they're near you? Or is there something else they experience? Do you live a grace-filled life that extends light to others so that it's not only a reflection of who you are, but it radiates from your life so that others know and feel who you are? The true child of God reflects, absorbs, and radiates the light of Christ. Do others say that about you? Are you absorbing that light on a daily basis? Now I leave you with one more tidbit regarding light. Perhaps you've noticed this before. I know I have. It affects me a great deal. But if you find yourself with a tickle in your nose when faced with a bright light, have you ever been there? No? You're experiencing what a significant percentage of people experience. 18 to 35% of people experience this. It's a phenomenon known as a photic sneeze reflex. It occurs due to crossed wires in the brain, according to neurologists. It happens to me all the time. When I'm driving the van and I'm driving into the sun, I'll have to sneeze. And I do it quite regularly. But don't go look into the sun to test it out. But just think of this, though, if you have a photic sneeze reflex happen to you. What do we say when a person sneezes? God bless you. Well, if a bright light causes you to sneeze, just remember that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, wants to bless you now and forever. You can only see light if it hits your eyes. Look to Jesus, the light of the world today, and let Him use you to take His blessed gospel light from shore to shore with a willing heart and willing hand, now and forevermore. Amen.